from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and I'm coming live from my bedroom tonight because I got kicked out of the office. So it's me and all three dogs currently sitting on the bed. So,
oh, you got all the puppies with you?
Yep, they're all hanging out.
So they can't see the top secret project either?
Nope, they're not allowed to see the top secret project either. And I actually just posted on Twitter a picture of all three of them hanging out here on the bed.
As we all right.
are live on YouTube right now.
So. Yes, we are. And tonight we've got, we're going to get kind of back to a regular program after last week's Halloween Horror Nights extravaganza, finishing up announcements with all that. So tonight we're going to talk a few pop culture things at first here. Guardians of the Galaxy coming to Guardians 3 coming to a screeching halt. And me and Barry, we're going to give our top five movies since the summer blockbuster movie season's kind of winding down here. We're going to give our top five movies of 2018. And then theme park wise, we obviously got a big thing to talk about with Six Flags announcing all of their attractions.
So many attractions.
Yeah. Carowinds announcing their coaster literally the same day.
I mean, some Star Wars Galaxy's Edge news and Back to Hogwarts is going on at Universal Orlando right now. So,
yep. So
all that and more, but let's kick it off with some pop culture. And we're going to do our top five summer films. You know, we each have our own list that I have a feeling some things might be similar, some not. But,
I didn't know you were going to do this, so I had to scramble at the last second.
Well, it started out as top three because I was like, has Clint seen that many movies this summer? But, you know, you were like, oh, well, let's make it top five. I was like, okay, well, then let's make it top five. So,
yeah, I mean, I started going through and I was like, I think I have enough to do a top five. So that's why I texted you and I was like, let's do a top five. So.
All right, so let's start with number five. My number five film of the summer for me was Deadpool 2. I really liked it. I thought it was pretty close quality-wise as far as the compared to the original. I mean, it was nice, you know, now that we got the whole, you know, origin story out of the way, we could just dive right into... to just Deadpool, you know, just having a story, and I liked it. I got to see it twice and laughed my ass off both times, and I thought it was a great fun movie, and of course, as usual, really over the top and really dirty, really super dirty too. So
yeah, I'm unfortunately Deadpool 2 didn't make my top five. I liked it. But there were a few, well, there was one other movie kind of in the same category that I think edged it out. So,
so what was your number five?
My number five was Ant-Man and the Wasp. I actually had, believe it or not, I had Deadpool, as probably runner up between this and Ant-Man, but for some reason I couldn't justify putting Deadpool 2 on my top five movies of the summer. It was great. Everything was, you know, there was nothing wrong with the movie. I loved Deadpool 2. But for some reason Ant-Man and the Wasp just edged it out for me. The story, the characters, I love the Wasp, what she brought to the movie. So I think those few things kind of edged it out for me for my number five pick.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, I loved Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was really a toss-up of, I mean, I really, if I would go further in ranking, it would probably fall six or seven.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great movie. It's, you know, outside of one certain film, I really don't feel like I saw much in the way of duds this summer. So,
yeah, it's, you know, creating a top five movie list is just as hard as making a Horror Nights hype list this year for the 10 haunted houses.
Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp is a fun movie. It's a great time. I almost feel like, I think we had a discussion before when we reviewed it, that the Ant-Man movies are almost sort of like the family movies of the Marvel Universe, because they're all really centered around family and how important each, Scott and Hank and them and family is. And so it's always, the Ant-Man movies are a little bit lighter fare compared to the rest of the Marvel Universe. And it was a fun movie. One of the, my favorite movies of the summer, but just didn't make my top five. So let's move to number four. And for me, number four was Crazy Rich Asians, which I actually just saw today.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. Comedies have had a lot of problems lately. There hasn't been... Comedies have really had an issue, problem being successful. I don't know if it's due to quality or just... Some of them just have not been really that great lately. And in Crazy Rich Asians, not only was it a comedy, it was sort of also a romantic comedy, and it was fun. And it was nice to see a different type of story, and also it was nice to see different. You know, it's sort of amazing that it's been this. I think Joy Luck Club back in the 90s was the last major studio movie featuring basically an all Asian cast. And you know, it was a fun movie, really enjoyable, great story, great characters, and makes me even more want to go to Singapore, because it was also sort of almost like a postcard for Singapore too. So
because I don't even know what the movie's about. I mean, obviously it's about rich Asians, but
yeah, I mean it's about a woman who's a NYU professor and her boyfriend. You know, it starts off in New York, and she doesn't really know that her boyfriend is from this super wealthy family. So she ends up going to Singapore with him for his best friend's wedding, and then, you know, she comes to learn that, like, they're one of the wealthiest families in all of Singapore. And it really goes into the whole, you know, I mean, a lot of things, you know, with Asian families is how important family is, and respecting your elders, and you know, especially if you come from a wealthy family, you're expected to, you know, in any wealthy family, not just an Asian, you're expected to marry a certain level of person,
yeah,
or to certain families, and it goes sort of into that. But it's also a funny movie. It's a romantic comedy. It's got a little drama in it too. It's a nice mixture, and it was really enjoyable. And I can see why it's now, I think this is the third weekend it's been number one, so it's done really well. And I had a
fun no, it time. Has.
I had a great time, and I recommend, if you haven't seen it yet, go see it. I mean, because there's not a lot movie wise going on right now, and this is definitely one of, like I said, I felt it was one of the my favorite movies of the summer. So what is your number four?
Number four here. I was taking notes, and my numbers are kind of in between the notes and everything. My number four is probably one of the few big surprises of the summer, and that is A Quiet Place. I started hearing good things about this movie. Oh, you got to go see it. And I saw it, and... it was, like I said, it was probably the biggest surprise for the summer for me. Just the, you didn't see it, right? A Quiet Place?
No, I have not seen it. I know I did not get a chance to see it. So, but everyone I know who's seen it has raved about it.
It was one of those movies that was really by word of mouth, I think. And, it creates a sense of suspense and not really horror, but just the tone of the movie, because these monsters in the movie, everything's based on sound. And if you make loud noises, you know, they come and they grab you, and that's it. That's the end of the road for you. And it follows this family through the whole movie. Not to give too much away because you hadn't seen it, but I loved the suspense in the film. You're literally on the edge of your seat the whole movie, except for maybe about 30 seconds of it where there's a few light moments in the movie. But other than that, the movie just really, I'm a sucker for a good suspense film. And this, you know, due to these, they don't really give you a backstory of where these creatures came from, but they're all based on sound, like Tremors or something. if you make a loud noise, like a, you know, even as loud as like a, like something dropping on the floor or something. So everything they do, they've adapted to this change. And I'm not going to sit here and review the movie, but that was my number four because it was really a big surprise for me. And so I felt like it had to be on my list because I think that was it's a really good flick. I liked it. So moving on.
My number three movie of the summer was Mission Impossible Fallout.
Number three? No, we're ending this podcast right now. We're done.
I will say between one, two, and three, it was a very hard decision to make. Because all three of my top three
I think me and yours top three are going to be the same movies, but in different spots.
Yeah. I mean, it is hands down one of the best straight-up action movies in years. From beginning to end, it is a nonstop run that is not just like action for the sake of action. There's a great story throughout, great characters, great acting going on, and some of the most amazing action sequences I have seen in a long time. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, we all know, you know, for years now about Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, but in this case, it's not just Tom Cruise. It's the entire cast brings their A game, and it doesn't. Yes, some of the stunts are wow and amazing. Get some shots I have never seen in an action movie before, just by the sheer fact of like in the finale sequence of the helicopter chase, the fact that Tom Cruise is flying the helicopter. And you're getting, you know, shots of him, you know, flying, of him flying. And even, and in the same aspect, Henry Cavill's hanging outside of a helicopter. And you're getting, you know, POV shots of that you just, I've never seen a helicopter chase shot like that before. Because normally they're basically cutting away from wide, in a normal movie, you're cutting away from wide shots. And then cutting into, like, inside the helicopter, which is shot on a sound stage in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
And if you cut to a close up outside shot, it's the stunt doubles that you're seeing. Whereas in this case, you're seeing Tom Cruise flying a helicopter. You're seeing Henry Cavill hanging outside of it, firing a gun. You know, on top of that, the bathroom fight scene is amazing. I mean, just brutal, brutal choreography and
freaking pissed off Superman taking his jacket off and just
yeah. No, I mean bringing Henry Cavill in was whoever decided he should be in the movie. It was brilliant because he really goes toe to toe with Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
and it's just great movie. Ties back in all the way back into Mission Impossible 3, and almost sort of brings. If this is the last one, which I don't think it is, because it's already turning out to be one of the most successful ones they've ever done, it sort of bookends the story nicely. If this were to be it, but I don't think it will be. As long as they bring back the same cast again, because it's definitely this one and the last one have to me have been two of the best ones, and part of it is what's her face, Rebecca Ferguson, having her along too, and she's been great. So I enjoyed the movie. I loved it. So
I think the chemistry really showed in this one with the cast too, and they've they really got the flow going in this one. The chemistry of all of them together. And I hope that this isn't the end for, you know, the whole cast, because I want to see it again. My number three, and I don't know if this will be surprising to some, my number three, I had to put it here because of the other two simply just beating it out for obvious reasons. But my number three is Incredibles 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, there weren't a whole lot of animated films this year. But Incredibles 2 was obviously the best one that did come out, and I still haven't decided if it beat out the original. I'm fairly certain it did for me.
It's really hard because, I mean, we're talking the amount of time that's passed between, obviously the animation is a whole new level compared to the first movie.
Yeah.
And you've got some amazing set pieces. You've got it sucks that it took this long to finally get a second Incredibles movie, because that movie, from the moment that movie ends, it was screaming for a sequel. But it was worth the wait. And while we're talking about it, I'll go ahead and say number two for me was Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
I really loved the movie. I enjoyed it so much. It was the only disappointing thing I can say is I didn't get to, since it only ran 1 week in the Dolby Cinema, I didn't get to see it in Dolby Cinema.
Yeah, I didn't see it in Dolby either. I just saw it in the regular theater.
That's definitely one of those ones, you know, the day it comes out on 4K, I'm definitely picking it up. It's just a great movie. You know, this one, unlike the first one was really Mr. Incredibles movie. This one's more Mrs. Incredibles movie, but also this one's more of an ensemble than the first movie was. So much of the first movie was just about him.
Yeah.
And this one really brings, everyone has a bigger role in this one, including Frozone. So, I mean, I felt it was definitely more of an ensemble movie, and it's really fun that it really comes down to Jack-Jack, Violet, and Dash really have to save the day at the end of the movie. So
Jack-Jack just steals the movie altogether.
Yeah, and Jack-Jack steals every scene it is in, and of course Edna Mode shows up and is just, her stuff is sheer perfection. So it's great movie. Great! Not only is it a great animated movie, it's definitely, to me, like one of the best movies I've seen this year.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was hard to put it at third place, but you know, the top two obviously made it blah. It was tough. It was tough. There was a lot.
So, what is your number two movie?
Okay, my number two is Infinity War. And I might as well just go ahead and say my number one was Mission Impossible.
I knew what your number one was going to be.
Yeah. And this was incredibly hard for me to put on paper, let alone say it here. But, you know, they're two completely different movies, given they're both huge action movies, but just the cinematography, the soundtrack, everything for Mission Impossible as a whole, I had to put my Marvel fandom aside and just strictly look at it at a movie perspective, like I was, you know, if I was part of you know, some kind of board of movie, you know, professionals. And it's hard for me to do that because I've become such a huge fan of these movies. For me to sit down and actually break down, you know, the cinematography, the sound, the, you know, all the stuff.
I mean, they're both movies are two totally different kind of movies. I mean, Mission Impossible Fallout is basically, outside of, I'm sure, a few shots and when they use to cover up whatever safety gear they were using, it's so much of it was real stunts, real shots. where, I mean, it's pretty much said, like, was it 80%? 75-80% of Infinity War is CGI.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, people, you know, which is one of the things Marvel has done so well is since they have this machine, they've been able to create CGI that is like so far ahead in many cases of other studios that even stuff that you would think they shot realistic, and really, no, they're shooting in front of a green screen. But they've gotten so good at the effects. But as you can guess, my number one was Infinity War. And like you said, 10 years of build up to get to this movie.
Yeah.
That we've been building to, and you know, so in so many times with TV and film, sometimes the build up just does not pay off. And boy did it pay off in ways we never expected it to pay off.
Oh, I completely agree.
I feel like most of us going into this movie felt like, oh, well, you know, it'll end with, you know, he's got 3 or 4 stones, and then, you know, our heroes will come back and win the day in part two. I don't think most of us felt like that this movie was going to end with him snapping
the bad guy winning.
And the bad guy winning. And really, yeah. I mean, once, you know, I've and this is a movie I've watched. I watched it twice in the movie theater, and then since it came out, I've seen it 3 times, including with the commentary track. And it's Thanos' movie.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, it's all from his point of him being the hero to himself. I mean, to him, he's the hero. He's the one who's making the hard choices.
Yeah.
For the entire universe. And boy, they make you think all the way up until that last moment that the Avengers are going to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, they almost get the gauntlet off and, you know, all those things building up to,
you know, to Thor's big entrance and Thor, you know, going attacking him, and
you should have aimed for the head.
And then he snaps those fingers, and the entire, you know, half the universe disappears.
Yeah,
and it's just.
I completely
with a movie with so many characters. I mean, we've never seen a movie like this before.
Yeah,
with this many major characters, and they handled it so well. I mean. Yeah, are there little things here or there? Yeah, I mean, my biggest the only thing that really draws me out of the movie, if we're talking CGI wise, is the Banner in the Hulkbuster suit. Once that head comes off, it really, some of those shots are not that great.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. Some of the shots of Banner and the Hulkbuster did look kind of weird.
But other than that, I mean, you know, it's just, the movie was so good. And yes, well, some of these deaths are going to be permanent. I think, yeah, some of them are going to be turned around because, unless something, but I think, ultimately, you know, in the next movie, even, you know, still some people are not going to make it out alive.
Yeah.
But this movie, from beginning to end, is just amazing. And I have never experienced anything like seeing it that opening night and just that movie ending and just stunned silence in that movie theater. I have never experienced anything like that.
But again, I can't take that into my viewing of a movie ranking my top movies.
Yeah.
The experience is there, but, you know, I base my list upon, you know, strictly the movie itself. And I don't disagree with anything you were saying, but and I think that's why we're flip-flop with the Infinity War and Mission Impossible and
I mean, like I said, between 1, 2, and 3, they're all 3 of the best movies I've seen this year.
It's damn near impossible to rank them because we had so many great films this summer. And next summer,
I mean, this is one of the rare summers where almost everything I saw was excellent outside of Jurassic Park Fallen World, Fallen Kingdom. But which didn't make the top either. It didn't make in either one of our top five. So
no, you know, Jurassic Park is Jurassic Park at this point. What they've done with the franchise, it's a dinosaur movie. I mean, I know you've told me several times what your issues with the plot is and everything. And I'm kind of on the same boat. I mean, Jurassic Park films are my guilty pleasure. I love them no matter what. So I can't even rank them.
I definitely, once it comes out, plan on watching it again just to see if, you know, if I, hey, let me see it again and see how I feel about it. But I mean, I just, you know, I would rank that as probably out of the movies I've seen this summer, the most disappointing film I've seen this summer.
Yeah. It was weird. I'll give it that. So,
but of course, right. You saw The Meg. So, I mean, I imagine that was probably the most disappointing film you saw this summer.
Don't even get me going on that crap show.
But one more bit of pop culture news. Is that Galaxy, to no surprise of anyone, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has been put on hold. The crew that was there for pre-production has basically been released and told to look for other jobs. This is surprising with everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I mean, I know we discussed this on our episode that we had issues on, but, you know, it's just... It's been interesting to keep up with this and the whole hotel thing over at Disneyland with you know, the drama.
Yeah, I mean it's none of this. They made the decision. They've stuck by the decision.
Especially Bautista.
But the cast is not happy. Dave Bautista is very unhappy.
I don't know if he's
and continues to voice his unhappiness on social media.
I don't know if he's trying to get fired or what, but
I don't know either. But I mean, I look at it, this was, you know, it's been discussed through and through. This was a Disney Studios decision. This was not, from everything it says, was Alan Horn, the Disney Studios chairman, made this decision. And it's really thrown Phase 4 of Marvel into chaos now.
Yeah,
this was supposed to kick it off, and the story in this movie was an important beginning for this Phase 4, and now that's been completely. Albeit they still plan on shooting the movie, but I cannot see it making its May 2020 slot when we're talking a Guardians film that requires a ton of effects work. You know, that's why a lot of these Marvel movies are shot like a year and a half before they come out.
And I've been seeing a lot of articles popping up saying that this movie could affect Avengers 4.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, and then the rumor now is they've pushed Doctor Strange 2 up.
Yeah,
that they're looking to start filming that beginning of the next year. To go into that May slot, you know, so it's be interesting to see what happens, because I know if that happens, I think Benedict Cumberbatch was supposed to finally film another season of Sherlock, but that will all get put on hold if they move the filming of Doctor Strange 2 up, so it's a mess.
Yeah,
and hopefully they will figure a way out of this. On top of, they still have to get Kevin Feige to renew his contract. So
yeah,
you know, it's definitely interesting. So, but I think that's it for pop culture news. We're gonna move into some theme park stuff with Six Flags dropping all their little bombs at once for 2019. You know, it's interesting that they've been doing this. What, the last couple of years they've been doing these, like, announcing everything pretty much at once thing.
Yeah, they've I can't remember how when they started it, but yeah, they've been the past couple of years they've been just here's everything.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we have the article on the website. I mean, we're just going to... We're going to discuss the things that we think that are the most interesting out of the announcements. Of course, the biggest one to me is the West Coast Racers dueling launched coaster that's coming to Six Flags Magic Mountain. And I have a feeling like this is first one of its kind that it will feature two side-by-side tracks with four launches. Talking multiple airtime hills, extreme bank turns. There's even supposed to be like a real-time pit stop. So it's definitely probably one of the more unique rides that's I've seen in a while, coaster-wise, especially steel coaster-wise.
Yeah, the West Coast Racers coasters looks really interesting. Because this is going to be built by SNS, right? I can't remember.
It's Premier.
Is it Premier? It? Yeah.
I thought it's Premier.
Six Flags Great America, they're getting the SNS. Or I could be wrong there.
Yeah, they're getting the new version of the one Magic Mountain has, basically. But they're getting the fastest launch coaster in North America with the fastest inversion. I love they make up these new things. Fastest inversion, whatever. Highest double inversion of any roller coaster in the world. Discovery Kingdom's getting a Batman the Ride, which is similar to the one that's in Fiesta, Texas, and it's also, I think, called the Joker at Six Flags Great Adventure.
Yeah, the 4D coaster. So
yeah, and a lot of the other places, it's flat rides.
What is Cyborg at Six Flags New England? They didn't like it's a. It's an indoor dark ride, flat
it's
ride,
an,
I'm
it's
guessing.
It's an indoor, I wanted to say someone said it was a chance.
No, Ryan corrected me. Max Force is SNS because it's air powered. The launch is air powered, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see SNS getting back into their air launch coasters because, God, I miss those.
Yeah, I mean, every, it seems like, they're doing a lot. I mean, they're even, theming flat rides to DC characters now. So it's like...
Yeah, because they announced, what, three pendulum rides? Great Adventure. Over Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia is getting Pandemonium. So it's definitely...
Fiesta Texas is the other one.
Yeah, they're getting Pandemonium, and they're changing... some area to a scream punk theme, which I guess is a Six Flags twist on the steampunk subgenre.
Well, that's what they did with they built a scream punk section at Magic Mountain, didn't they?
I can't remember.
I think they did, because when they opened up Twisted Colossus or whatever it is, when they closed down Colossus, they rethemed that area to the scream punk. So that's what Six Flags Over Georgia is getting now, is the scream punk area. So
I mean, a lot of different attractions, and like I said, you can go on our website thrillgeek.com to read up on all of the Six Flags announcements.
Poor Six Flags St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean
the Supergirl ride.
Yeah, I mean they're due for I mean, there's been the rumor for years that the boss is gonna get RMC, but it seems like RMC is sort of doesn't have anything in the pipeline for next year, because it seems like they're fixing some problems with some of the stuff that came out this year. The other big announcement this week, coaster wise, is Copperhead Strike coming to Carowinds.
I'm gonna try video for the first time on the YouTube live stream, so somebody let me know if it's working. I'm posting the POV of Copperhead Strike, and so I've been using nothing but pictures, so I figured I'd try some video and see how that goes. So
yeah, I mean, Copperhead Strike is a double launch roller coaster. The ride features five inversions. It's a mock, which I'm all for more mock coasters in the United States. We don't get enough of them. They make some of the best coasters in the world. You know, so it's you know, I guess they're touting it as you know, sort of the description of the ride is enjoy a natural, easygoing culture of the Carolina Mountains at Blue Ridge Junction, a new immersive 7-acre themed area at Carowinds. Sit a spell and savor homegrown flavors at our new Blue Ridge Country Kitchen restaurant. And then you'll hang on tight and get twice the bite on the high-speed backwoods chase on the new Copperhead Strike, the Carolina's first double launch coaster. Yes, another one of those made-up records.
They gotta market it somehow.
Yeah.
But no, this coaster actually looks really fun, and I honestly think that it might get me back up to Carowinds, because last time I was at Carowinds was for media day for Fury 325.
Yeah, I haven't been to Carowinds in a long time, and definitely next year, maybe the year, finally get back up there. And on top of finally riding Fury 325, definitely this looks like a pretty amazing attraction.
Yeah, the one thing that really intrigued me about the ride was the second launch. The first launch, you're going to do like 0 to 40, 42, I think it is. Yeah, right here, 0 to 42 in 2.5 seconds. And then the second launch is 35 to 50 in 2 seconds. That launch is actually over a hill.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. I didn't you don't see too many launch coasters where the launch has a hill in it. Usually the launch is just straight.
Yeah.
And the POV, you see it. The launch actually goes over the hill, which was really neat to see, because normally, you know, a launch on a coaster is just a straight shot. And this one has it on a, like, the launch, you start the launch and it goes up over like a bunny hill. And so, yeah, it looks like it should be a fun little addition to the park. Really compact, lots of twists and turns. So I'm pretty excited to get up there once again and check it out. And I can't stand the JoJo roll out of the station. I said this on Twitter. This is just a personal thing. And I didn't know that it I saw this, and then I went back and I realized that it has... Copperhead Strike will have lap bars, so it might not be that bad. But Hydra at Dorney Park, the JoJo roll is so uncomfortable with the shoulder harnesses, because you like fall onto them. And you know, there were other people saying on Twitter, well, that's not the worst part of Hydra. I'm hoping it won't be as bad as that one, because it was so uncomfortable. But the fact that this has lap bars, it might be a little less uncomfortable. But anyways, just a personal gripe from me. I'm not too big on the whole going right into a roll right out of the station.
Yeah,
anyways.
No, I mean, the last thing I wanted to be is uncomfortable on a roller coaster. But we'll
yeah.
find out next year in 2019.
Yeah.
And speaking of 2019, we got some more details for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And the cantina that's coming to both parks. Is this Uga's Cantina?
I saw somebody ask the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Ogas. Somebody help us out here.
But
we're supposed to be geeks, but we don't know how to pronounce Star Wars stuff.
This will be located inside Galaxy's Edge. Of you know, the description was, visitors come to this notorious local watering hole to unwind, conduct shady business, maybe even encounter a friend or a foe. Run by an intriguing alien proprietor, I'm going to say Oga Gara. The cantina adheres to a strict code of conduct that tries to keep its unruly patrons in check, but with a history of being a smuggler's safe haven and a popular stopping point for those seeking to avoid authorities, you can bet the cantina has a story or two to tell. Of course, the big news that came out of the fact is that, yes, this cantina will be selling adult beverages, which means Disneyland will finally have a location that will have adult beverages.
Yeah, that was the big when Disney announced this on the Disney Parks blog. Everybody picked up on that one little thing that yes, there's going to be libations for pretty much everybody, including kids. They're going to have kid friendly drinks, but yes, as you said, excuse me, they are going to be serving alcohol in this bar. So yes,
yeah, I mean, it's not shocking. You know, within the last 2 years, they started serving alcohol at sit-down restaurants in the Magic Kingdom for table service. So, I mean, yeah, I have a feeling this isn't going to be the only restaurant serving alcohol in Disneyland.
No, and people, for the most part, took it well, and, you know, there wasn't a, there, you know, life went on.
Yeah, I seriously doubt Disneyland or Magic Kingdom will ever be like Epcot or the other parks that have pop-up bars. Or
No.
You know, I think they'll continue to keep it with just table service, at least for the foreseeable future. We'll see 5-10 years down the road. You know, times are different now. You know, I realize in many cases this is probably more about money. But also, you know, times are different now, and a lot of people like to have an alcoholic beverage with their food when they go out to eat. You know, craft beer is a huge thing now.
Yeah.
So the
other thing that was interesting about the rest, this bar is going to be part of the bigger restaurant inside Galaxy's Edge, correct? From my understanding?
I believe so. I mean, like, there's supposed to be multiple locations, you know, food and beverage locations in Galaxy's Edge. But yeah, I believe this will be a larger part of a bigger restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one of the other interesting things is the DJ for the Cantina will be none other than RX-24, the former Starspeeder 3000 pilot from the original Star Wars attraction.
Yeah, so. I thought that was pretty cool that they're going to, you know, kind of bring him over from Star Tours and integrate him into Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, so, I mean, we know there will be at least one animatronic inside this Cantina. There may be more. Will there be actor? This is the whole thing, you know, that's been talked about, the fact that there'll be actors roaming around, you know, and things will happen when you're in Galaxy's Edge. We'll see how much execution of that happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm nervous and I'm anxious to see how Disney's going to integrate this whole immersive feel that they're going with Galaxy's Edge, how there's going to be actors walking around, because that place is going to be a madhouse.
You know, there's been a rumor came out this past week about them having to reprogram the Millennium Falcon ride because of this whole, you know, you control the Millennium Falcon and like
the capacity.
It's not even really the capacity. It's if you get a group that sucks. I guess they're worried about guest satisfaction, because if you crash the Falcon,
there goes your Disney vacation.
Because of some idiot in your group that you're paired up with. I mean, it's one thing, I guess the issue they found, it's one thing, because the ride hold, each one holds six people, each cockpit holds six people. So I guess the thing is, like, if you're a whole group together, it's one thing, but if in most cases, it's going to be people, strangers working with each other, and I guess the amount of freedom that was allowed was, you know, causing, I guess they've been doing testing, and it's, you know, if you crash, people get pissed off. You know, and so it'll be interesting to see if this thing goes a little bit more on the rails, and they take away some of the freedom that they were originally going to do.
It may come down to them just almost doing like a Mission Space type thing where each person has a couple buttons to push from there.
Which to me would suck, because this, the whole thing that's been touted with this attraction.
Yeah. Is the
how you're going to have control.
Yeah.
I mean, I always knew there would be a limited amount of control, but it was, you know, your actions would affect what's going on. And I mean, and it's one thing when you got like an interactive attraction like Toy Story and Mania or Buzz Lightyear where you're just shooting at stuff.
Yeah.
But having to depend on other people to do their proper thing. And yeah, one of the things that did leak out, that they were so wrong on the capacity. Both attractions are super high capacity.
Yeah.
That are coming to hit this. I mean, but I think it's amount of guests that they're worried about guest satisfaction on the Millennium Falcon ride. So, especially if you have to wait 3 hours.
you wait 3 hours and then hours 10 seconds into the ride, somebody tanks the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, so it'll be interested. It will be interesting to see. But moving on, I think really the last thing we're going to talk about is Universal sort of like really like what, a week or two before, sort of announced this Back to Hogwarts event. Which, I guess every year on September 1st, there's been sort of like an unofficial event with at the park of where people going back to Hogwarts. And I guess Universal has sort of decided to finally create their own little event that will go on through the month of September. It's nothing major, but I mean, you know, they're doing a couple little things where they're doing, you know, like photo Fridays where they'll have special photo ops, group photo ops that'll be going on. And then there's supposed to be a scavenger hunt that you can participate in, which I think, they had a social media meetup Saturday night. And I think they were the first to sort of try this scavenger hunt. Where basically it's like a photo, you take pictures of things in both lands and then you share them on social media. So,
yeah, they, I mean, I was actually looking on social media today, and over in London at the actual platform of 9¾, they had some of the stars from Fantastic Beasts there. They had Jude Law and a couple others there. So, It was really interesting to see Universal kind of jump on this Back to Hogwarts. I mean, it makes sense. It's a perfect opportunity for them to promote Harry Potter even more. Like you said, it's nothing spectacular. I mean, it's no a celebration of Harry Potter, but it is something to get the, you know, there's a huge fan base for the Wizarding World, the Harry Potter fans, you know, everybody that wears robes and everything.
And September is always a slow month, so it's a nice little extra little thing if you happen to be, especially, I'm assuming really this is, they're really going after the locals who you know, try to get maybe the locals coming in the park in September to do some different things. And I mean, they came out with some new merchandise, some Hogwarts alumni merchandise. That we posted on our social media, where there was like a little drawstring backpack. There was two different shirts, and then there was like a thermos with Hogwarts alumni on it. So I mean, it's just a nice little celebration, something a little extra that they're doing, and to try to get people to come out during what's usually one of the slower times of the year. So
yeah. It was a nice little surprise. I might get out there one day because, you know, I always enjoy walking around, like during a celebration of Harry Potter, and checking out some of the people's cosplay, because some of these Harry Potter fans really get into it and create some really neat costumes. So
yeah, I mean, we were there Saturday to shoot some Horror Night Scare Zone construction, and we ran into various people dressed up in cosplaying in their Hogwarts best, or as different characters from the series.
So. Yeah. So, all right. I think that was pretty much everything on the agenda, correct?
Yeah. It's a little slow week. It's Labor Day holiday here. So, I mean, not much going on, and we're sort of in the calm before the storm that is Horror Nights.
We're in a, the transition here.
Yeah.
The announcements are over. Everybody's taking a deep breath. And we're just counting down the days here until HHN 28 kicks off. So,
yeah, so we remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ThrillGeek. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page. We've got a couple of different, we've done some live videos from Universal Studios Florida of Horror Nights Scare Zone Construction. Of course, speaking of that, YouTube.com/ThrillGeek, we have a couple of different Horror Nights Scare Zone Construction videos up. And feel free to peruse. We went all over Universal on Saturday night to check out the latest in the Scare Zone Construction. So, and we will be posting updates all the way up until opening night of Halloween Horror Nights. So be sure to tune into the YouTube channel for that. And also, once Horror Nights begins, we'll have videos up of all the scare zones and highlights from Halloween Horror Nights. And then we are ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And if you're listening to this podcast, make sure you click on that podcast link on the website. And we are available everywhere. iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can hear a podcast, you can hear the Thrill Geek podcast.
Yeah, and 90% of you listen on iTunes. So if you're on iTunes right now listening to us, please take a few seconds, fill out the review form. It sounds like you're on paper.
All you got to do is click on 5 stars, because of course we're awesome. But
yeah, and just type in a few quick words for us, and we greatly appreciate that. That helps us out. That helps us out greatly with our rankings and everything on iTunes. So if you enjoy the show,
we have expanded every month since January this year as far as downloads, and we have slowly moving up that chart on iTunes. So please review the podcast. It's important, and Apple pays attention to that. So
yeah, and all that aside, thank you, everybody, for your support for this podcast. We're coming up on 50 episodes. We're coming up on 1 year. And like Barry mentioned, every month, it took a few months. I think the first 3 or 4 months were kind of up and down. But after that, every month has surpassed the previous month in downloads. So we appreciate you guys listening to us banter on about theme parks and geeky stuff. So thank you again. We appreciate it. So, all right, let's get out of here. So we'll see you guys again next week. Take care.
See you in the parks.